Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Sing it, Mar. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
Best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. More to come, but first, let's go ahead and kick things off the way we like to for the first time this week with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. I'm back, and look what I brought with me.
Yeah, what is this?
You really know how to make an entrance. You really do. Yeah, this is really good. And she waited for the snow to come, and this is, all right, now I'm going to come
now
back.
Now I'm back.
Now y'all need me. Brittany, I hope you had a good break, a good time off there. We missed you around here, and we couldn't have you come in on a better time right now. What is Mother Nature up to? Other than, making
up to no good.
Yeah, up to no
up
good.
To no good.
Yep.
Someone's got to keep an eye on her. That's why I had to come back. What's going on, Mother Nature? Oh, goodness. Well, the good news is the majority of the snowfall is winding down and done, right? It's kicking off to the southeast of us. It's also, our temperatures are warming up a little bit. So any precipitation will probably be in the form of some light drizzle, especially by 10 o'clock this morning. That's when it's all going to be just rain chances. And now, not crazy rain. The system is moving out. It is leaving. But those winds are not. They're gusting around 30 to 40 miles per hour in central Wisconsin. They're gusting to near 50 off towards Lake Michigan. And that's also where they're seeing a ton more snow from the enhancement of those warm lake waters. So good thing that we're a few miles away from all of that craziness going on.
Thankfully for that.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, do keep in mind, I'm looking at road conditions right now. It looks like 54 is still pretty slick and slippery. So keep that in mind if you're headed out the door still south of Plover.
Thank you for that. Good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the weekend is going to be a little bit of a similar kind of weather for this. It's going to be staying consistent. I don't think we're going to be seeing 50 anytime soon is what it's looking like.
No. Tomorrow will probably be the closest or warmest day to that in the mid-40s. more clouds than sunshine, unfortunately, tomorrow, and still breezy. And then as we cruise into the weekend, we fall to the low 40s for both days. More sunshine on Saturday, more cloud cover on Sunday, because by Sunday night and into Monday morning, she's acting crazy again. We're going to get a little wintry mix. So Monday morning, we're going to wake up a little bit earlier.
Everybody try to be
not
nice.
A fun way to start the week.
Yeah. Everybody try to be nice to Mother Nature.
Yes.
Let's just all be cool with her and everything. Maybe it'll be better. Maybe it won't be so bad. It was a lot better now that we got an intro. We understand it a little bit better. Thanks to you, Brittany. Mm-hmm. So, appreciate you. You have a good morning.
You too. Thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Brittany Merlot. She's the best. We appreciate her joining us. Appreciate all you being out there. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club's right around the corner. After that, Seth and I are going to get into this year's hottest Black Friday buys.
Okay.
And it might surprise you.
They usually do.
Yeah, especially you and I aren't really Black Friday.
No,
people,
not
so
really.
Really surprise us. At a restaurant, what is an automatic, I'm not eating here, we need to leave?
Ooh.
What is an automatic one of those for people?
I'd have to think about that.
We're going to get into that one. 9 o'clock hour, I'm sorry, I get ahead of myself. 9 o'clock hour, kick things off with our pet of the week from the Southwick County Humane Society.
Woo.
Plenty to talk about with them.
Yes.
I believe they've been in the news.
Just a little.
We'll talk about that with them, and then afterwards get into some entertainment news. Newman from Seinfeld shows up. He's in there. My old boss is in there as well. We got to talk about Coachella a little bit. Seth and I can't wait for Coachella this year. All that coming up, and we'll get into, so people have been sharing their stories about the weirdest guests that they've had over.
Okay.
I've been waiting on this one.
All right.
The holidays around, a lot of people are going to have people staying over the night next week and everything. So this will be a fun one to get into, I think. Seth and I will be, before we wrap up the show, we will get into that. But a little bit of self-promotion time, everybody.
Okay.
I want to not only promote, but congratulate the success of last night's Lights of Love.
Yes.
A big tip of the hat to Aspirus, all of our sponsors, our co-sponsors, all the guests last night, and certainly a special shout out to me. No, to Melissa Kay.
Yes,
to Melissa Kay, everybody. My God. My mom and I are sitting there and having an early dinner, and she's listening to a little bit of it and everything, because I was not replaying it. She was listening to it, having an early dinner with my dad.
Right.
And I come home, and I went to the dentist, and usually, you know, she's going to ask me how it went or anything like that. Just starts raving about Melissa before I even have the door shut, Seth. I don't even have it shut. And she's
not even halfway in the house.
Would you do me a favor, Jimmy? Would you please tell her? So I'm telling her through the airwaves. No. It was a great job. Right, great job, Melissa. A great job by our production team, by our studio team here, of course, as well. Everybody making sure that got on the airwaves, got taken care of. Shout out to our equipment.
For surviving this year.
Yes, yes.
You know, it was funny. When Brittany was talking, I kept thinking, I was like, of course this was the first snowfall yesterday, because we did Lights of Love.
Yes, yes.
And for those of you who have known, you know, they've done it for like 23 years. Okay, the last 4 years, I've been a part of it. And every single year, the weather, it gets colder for some reason, it gets windier, and then the snow starts to fly. They could hold it in July, and I think snow would start falling for this.
Absolutely, but. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure it was two or three years ago that I did it.
Yes.
And it was so cold coming off the river. I literally, that night, I bought an electric jacket.
I literally he nearly froze to death.
It was great. But it shows how much we love this event.
Oh, it's awesome.
Only that, but by the amount of people that showed up. Heard 100%. Some great responses. Again, a big thank you to the sponsors, to Aspirus for hosting and for coming up with this, and all the great funds that they raised to help so many different causes in our community and do such great work. You can still get a Light of Love, everybody. Keep that in mind. You can go to lightsoflove.org to find out more, or aspirus.org to find out more.
That's through the foundation, so that's where you want to go. Yep.
There's a number of different ways that you can do that and encourage you to and celebrate your loved ones. I know that my parents and I are going to be doing, or have done that already, and looking forward to going past that tree and seeing it, and remembering it Papa and some of that.
It's great.
And shout out to Mel. There's so much work going on behind the scenes, and people around here, you know, and this is work. I'm saying this more as a relatability, not the world's smallest violin. I believe that 90% of our audience out there that is in the workforce is very similar to what we do here, wearing a lot of hats, spinning a lot of plates.
It's true.
It's just the way it works, you know? To what Melissa's been doing behind the scenes with our newsletter, which we encourage you to sign up for at WFHR.com.
Coming out today at noon.
Be sure to get that new edition, and everybody. And, of course, Seth, who has been, helping last night with that, with Lights of Love.
Right.
While also getting ready to do a Countdown to the Hunt, which has been incredibly successful on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI.
It's been fun.
Got another one tonight, everybody.
We do.
6 to 7, be sure to join Seth for that. Now, just before we get to that, Seth, rewinding to last night, you had on a good friend of mine and our station here, Mr. Sheriff Sean Becker.
Yes.
Or was he just going by Sean Becker last night? Was
I kept calling him Sheriff, so he couldn't get away from
it. Right,
yeah,
right.
I couldn't help it, you know?
And honestly, in my
sign of respect, right?
Yeah, that's safest bet in my experience. But no. Last night went incredibly well.
Yeah.
It's gone well all week long, and it's been a lot of fun, and you've been doing some great work with him, man.
Well, last night was a great interview with Sheriff Becker, because he's used to it. You know, he comes here every month to talk to you on Midday Magazine, so he's not intimidated by the microphone. He's very casual with it, and he did a great job. And it was nice, because the first two nights, I had some great guests on, but they were not used to doing radio.
Yeah,
they hadn't done it before.
Yeah.
So it's you know, they're a little, not shy, but, you know,
it's a different animal.
You have to learn how to do it, just like anything else, right? You got to do reps.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great to have him on. And then we had Joel Clayfish, who came on, who called in. For those who listen to Raised in Wisco, which is on at 4 o'clock on Sundays here on WFHR. You've heard him before. Man, I have never heard someone with such a passion for hunting.
Yeah, he loves it.
It was a great interview too, and a big shout out to my co-host Mike Comer.
Yeah.
Came in. He's got some great hunting stories, and he'll be with us tonight and tomorrow as well. So I'm going to pump him for some more great hunting stories. So
there's another good talker and another good resource that we've been able to tap into in this community. Good morning to Michael and his team, his family out there, and everything. It's been really great, and this is something that this is what we've been wanting to do.
Yeah,
and I. just, all of this is fantastic. I want to, you know, all the names we have mentioned and the people working so hard behind the scenes here to make all this get on the air. All of our guests that have joined us for the, you know, Countdown to the Hunt and stuff. But I got to thank Civic. I have to thank Civic Media for this, because so many of these things are projects or ideas that we've been wanting to do for years. We haven't had the resources, haven't had the team.
That's right.
This company has invested in us, invested in our community.
Yep.
In this whole community.
100%.
And they are a Wisconsin, they might as well have the red label right on them, because they are Wisconsin born and bred. Mm-hmm. And they're investing in Wisconsin communities like this.
That's right.
We're able to do more and more like this. We're looking, you guys don't even know about some of the stuff we're working on behind the scenes here with ideas and different stuff that we want to create for you out there. And we're able to do that mainly because we know what you want, because you tell us.
Yeah.
Keep telling us.
Let us know.
I can stand by this. I scientifically can prove, Seth, that we have the greatest listeners on radio.
That's awesome.
That's not a tagline. That's not something I say to, you know, brown nose the audience here. That's just the color of my nose. That's just that's who I am. I can back it up. And you guys do it for us all the time with events like this and the way you you call up and join us for them. Be sure to join Seth tonight. Great one lined up here. Get to focus on Wisconsin 4-H a little bit tonight,
yes.
Seth.
We're going to talk a little shooting sports with our good friend, Laura, who you hear on Midday Magazine all the time. I'm very much looking forward to talking to her about that. That looks that's going to be a great interview.
You want to talk about great natural energy, Laura Huber, man.
Yep.
She is incredible. She's wonderful. And she loves 4-H, and she's going to have a great time with you guys tonight.
Yep.
That'll be from 6 to 7 tonight. Countdown to the Hunt on 105.5 WIRI Wiscountry. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join us for that. And make sure to call in to the show, ask a question, share a story, a hunting joke, PG, and win money for your school. The school that gets the most shout-outs will win $500 in free advertising for their school.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Get ready to call over there tonight, everybody, from 6 to 7. Join Seth and Michael and Laura from as they focus on Central Wisconsin 4-H shooting sports.
Yep.
It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show. And again, get your light of love at Aspirus.org. Find out more at Aspirus.org. Getting into this real quick, Seth, because I think this there is no segue from all that greatness.
Okay.
So I just want to touch on a Canadian grandmother that completed 1,575 push-ups in 1 hour.
What?
Just let that sit there. Yeah. She earned her second Guinness World Record title through this. Donna Jean Wilde, and that name fits.
That totally fits, man.
59 years of her from Alberta, Canada, took on the title for the most push-ups in 1 hour by a female and managed to surpass the previous record of set with 17 minutes of her attempt remaining.
Wow.
She still had 17 more minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Does she just have really short arms? Does she? No. Would that be cheating? Would that be like?
Yeah, right.
Wilde previously set the record for the longest time in an abdominal plank position.
Oh my gosh.
Abdominal plank position.
Yep.
4 hours and 30 minutes and 11 seconds. She said training for that record prepared her to take on the push-up title.
Wow.
She wouldn't have done it without the other one.
I'm feeling sore for her. I mean, I'm sure she's very fit, but man, that's amazing. Holy cow.
And just to top it all off, Wilde's latest record attempt was attended by 11 of her 12 grandkids. But these skeletons...
Well, hey, I mean,
that's amazing.
That's a great way to keep your family together. Break records,
yeah.
You know, invite them to come.
Nobody talks about that.
No, they don't.
How do you bring families together nowadays? That's what everybody's wanting. How do I get the kids out of the tablet?
Break those Guinness records, man.
Have grandma break some records.
Yep.
That's what you need. That's what you need.
Specifically grandma.
Yeah, yes. And not for nothing, man. She's got some Linda Hamilton arms. Like this lady, she's got some pipes on her.
There is no question. Yeah, she is
in good shape.
She is in good shape.
Congratulations to her. We will take a time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club here on The Morning Show at WFHR. It is time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is do some celebrating. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. And check out some of their great specials like the Brian's Stacker and the California Chicken Sandwich.
Oh, I love that.
Sounds really good.
You know, one of the cool things that Fidel told us, so if you see a name attached to the special, that means it's one of their employees.
Yeah.
That came up with the idea or helped with it. So that's really cool.
It's not only a really fun thing for you know, your guests and trying different things, mm-hmm. and, you know, keeping your menu fresh, which is one of the toughest things in the restaurant industry.
Oh, absolutely.
It's also promoting creativity, promoting your crew,
yep.
and all that. It reminds me of when I worked at the video store, we all got to pick out like a video, like a, this
like
is our
James
movie
pick
of the week.
Or something like that.
Kind of thing.
That's cool.
It's a very cool idea.
Man, it's a great way to get everyone involved too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And buy local, support local, everybody, support our friends over at El Cafe and get us those birthdays and anniversaries. Love when you guys call up. Mm-hmm. Join us on the show here with your birthdays and anniversaries. You can email them, info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages and call up.
424-2600, area code 715. Call right now. Right now, everybody.
Right this second.
I'm telling you, I'm looking for phone calls on any show that I'm on. Give me phone calls. Come on.
He's starting to take it personal.
Yeah, right.
Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Give us mm-hmm. a call. And we need a 1 through 3 from you, Seth.
Two right in the middle today.
All right. Gives us that one so we can get right into it. First up, want to wish a very happy birthday to Julia Ray Zungia.
Julia, happy birthday.
Enjoy your day. That's a beautiful mm-hmm. name, Julia.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Have a great one. Mm-hmm. We wish a very happy birthday to Naomi Booth.
Happy birthday, Naomi.
Naomi's awesome. She's a local and a great, great one that puts a lot into this community, and we appreciate
that's
it.
That's a name. Personally, a name I love is Naomi.
That's a great name. I was always surprised it's not used more.
I know. It's such a good pretty one. Name.
And our qualifier today, Thomas Moore.
Happy birthday, Thomas, and congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. Enjoy your day, sir. Hope mm-hmm. it's a good one for you. We encourage you to celebrate with all your friends and family and strangers and pets and everybody else. Let everybody know that it's your birthday and did mm-hmm. you qualify today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a look at our celebrity list.
Okay.
Carly Rae Jepsen is 39. The Call Me Maybe girl.
Yes, I remember her.
Forgot about that one.
Oh, that's mean. It's like, I remember her from a couple years ago. I'm sure she's still doing stuff.
Probably is. Yeah, yeah. Jenna Malone is 40. Fantastic actor. She is Jonah in the Hunger Games sequels. She is she's also in Gretchen and Donnie Darko. She was in The Ruins.
Wow.
Jenna Malone's a really good actor. I don't know why we don't see more of her, to be honest. I think she's a really good actress.
Right.
Rain Phoenix is 52, sister of Joaquin and the late River Phoenix. Solid actor herself.
Gosh, I don't know if I've ever seen anything she's been in, now that I think about it.
I've always heard that this is one of the nicest guys behind the scenes, no matter if it's on the gridiron or if it's at Good Morning America. Michael Strahan is 53 mm-hmm. today.
Yes.
He's really had an incredible, like a really well, you know, good career after football.
Absolutely.
Great career during football. I imagine that every year on a certain day, he sends a text message to Brett Favre thanking him. Regardless,
you know,
is still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, Super Bowl champ, all those things. But what do you do after football? And where he's gone with his career has been really interesting. And what I find even more interesting is there are people, like I had a while back, had a couple students, and I don't remember how he came up, but he came up, and one of my students said, yeah, he's huge. He looks like he could put him a professional athlete. I'm like, are you serious? And I thought they were kidding. I really thought they were joking.
They didn't even know he played football.
I had no idea. I actually had a fun, me and Brian, my teacher, mm-hmm. were quizzing this person. They had him, okay, guess the sport he was good at. And I took him three guesses.
Man. Right, well.
A great career after work.
Oh, man. He's had, I mean, when right after he retired and he started showing up on TV, you could tell he was a natural.
Yeah.
He just fits so well in front of the camera. It's really cool.
One of my, and I believe one of your favorite baseball players of all time, Ken Griffey Jr. is 55.
Yes. I'm 100. You cannot have grown up in the 1990s. And not, I mean, he was one of the iconic players of that decade. And you got to love Ken Griffey Jr. That swing, oh, man, I can imagine that swing. Ah, gorgeous.
Greatest, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Tony Gwynn. But, you know, I mean, of our generation, I mean, it's hard-pressed to find a better, smoother, and more, like, if you're going to teach somebody how to swing a bat.
Mechanically sound.
Like, even Gwynn's was a little, you know, kooky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ken Griffey Jr.'s is just perfect. Like, exactly how you'd want it.
Yep.
His stance was just always so interesting. He just stood there and just kind of like
he kind of had the bat on his shoulder, but he was so fast through the zone. I mean, he was not like a big muscle guy either. I mean, he would joke about he couldn't bench like 150 pounds, but he hit the ball, you know, 450 feet. It was amazing.
I don't know what it is, but I could never really get too into a guy, no matter how good of a batter he was, if he couldn't field. And I blame him because, my God, I loved watching him. He was must see. I wish they could have just put a camera on him in center field. Just love watching
him. If you talk to him, probably still today, he would say defense was his favorite part of the game. That's the thing he worked the hardest on and probably was the thing he was most proud of.
He was amazing.
Was his being one of the best center fielders of his generation.
Honestly, one of those guys that I'm thankful I got that. I got to, like, he was in my generation. Mm-hmm. I got to see him in his whole career.
To grow up with him, yeah, it was fun.
Also, anytime you don't like a guy that wears his hat backwards over the age of 40, you can blame Ken Griffey Jr.
That's his fault.
Yeah, it's his fault. Troy Aikman, 58, another one of those guys. Wow. Like, how do you have a just as steady a career as you did as a pro? He's pretty much done that. Like him or not, he has done that.
He's done a very good job. I mean, he's probably considered one of the better analysts on TV right now.
And every time a Cowboy retires and they get an announcer job, we can thank him. Bjork is 59. Wonderful. Wow. Icelandic voice. Bjork means a birch tree, actually, in Icelandic.
Wow. If you listened to Unlabeled last week, you heard one of her bigger hits, Human Behavior, which I love that song.
It's a
man.
Great one. Yeah. Ugh. A very unique, very original artist. Mm-hmm. And it really just one of the more unique voices you'll hear.
Yes.
Really good. One of my favorites of all time, Goldie Hawn, is 79 today.
Oh.
Kate Love Hudson's Goldie mom, Hunt. Kurt Russell's wife, woman, you know, whatever you want to say. As she would put it, I'm not putting it that way. I've heard her put it that way. I love her interviews. I love every one of her movies that she's ever done. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I appreciate is that Goldie Hawn found moments where she knew she wasn't going to get serious roles, but she wanted to prove that she could do serious things. Mm-hmm. Say a silly movie like Private Benjamin, where she's walking in the rain. Home and stuff, and you look at her face and all that, and you see it. There's a handful of roles where if you're paying attention, Goldie Hawn shows you that she can do it all.
Yeah.
Just 100%. Never really got the opportunity, especially in her prime. Mm-hmm. Never got the chance to do really good, gut-wrenching work or anything, but she dang sure could have. She's no different in many ways than Sally Field, other than Sally Field wasn't blonde.
Right, that's true.
And it may sound simple and everything, but the casting directors, I've talked to them about this when it comes to certain actors, especially those two, because I've always thought they were very similar, but why did they have such different careers? And why did they have so few opportunities in certain ways? Sally Field had to fight for Norma Rae.
Right.
Like, they didn't want to cast her. Right. Like, she had to fight for that. That's how good she was in that role that they had to give it to her.
And that was her chance. After that, she got tons of more serious roles, but Goldie never got the chance to do that.
Yeah, and could have. Could have.
I'm sure she could have. Oh,
great actress. Marlo Thomas is 87. That girl.
Daughter of Daddy Thomas, another great entertainer, and the whole. I mean, her and her dad were both instrumental in St. Jude's, of course. Yes. Their famous cancer research center. So
it's always nice seeing her in those commercials. Mm-hmm. She does a great job with those. We got a big three here, and our people no longer.
Oh,
with
wow!
Us, Seth, in all different genres. First, one of the greater voices ever, Dr. John, born in this day in 1940. Born in this day in 1941, passed away in 2019.
Oh, man.
New Orleans original.
Oh, so original.
Honestly, I think maybe Louis Armstrong, first and foremost.
Yeah, you got it.
Almost right after Louis Armstrong, I think of Dr. John when I think of New Orleans.
Oh, man, there are so many great musicians and artists who've come from New Orleans, and he was such a singular talent. Did his own thing. He really did his own thing, and I love it. I mean, his real name was Mac Rebnick, by the way.
Yeah.
I see why he went with Dr. John. That's better than that, but yeah.
As soon as I said his name, how many people had it? Must have been the right place, been a long time.
That was his big hit, but man, if you look at his catalog, he's got such great stuff out there. It's good. Oh, so good.
Worked with a lot of great musicians,
over
the years, as every single New Orleans artist of all time has. Like, nobody works alone in New Orleans.
They're not just, you know, singers or pop people. They are musicians, they played in a lot of session stuff, too. So
also, as my sister would want me to mention, did the theme song for Blossom.
That's right, he did. Talk about weirdness. I love it.
Deep cut for everybody out there. The great, the legend, Harold Ramis, born on this day in 1944, passed away in 2014. Writer, director of Caddyshack, Groundhog Day, co-writer of Animal House, Stripes, Back to School, Meatballs, co-writer of Ghostbusters, starred in Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. We are thankful over at Second City to get to remember Harold Ramis every time we have a graduating class. We have a Harold Ramis scholarship that goes out that helps kids go off to film school, and like similar to the Ivan Reitman one that there exists. Mm-hmm. Harold Ramis, one of the proudest that we have at Second City. And
one of the biggest alum, yeah.
Yeah, and just people in general. Like, nobody ever talked badly about Harold Ramis. Nobody. His son did an amazing job with the Ghostbusters. The first, I didn't see the second one yet, but the first newer one with Paul Rudd and
Afterlife,
everything.
Afterlife, yeah.
He did an amazing job with that. It's one of the greatest like sequels that if you're going to have a sequel 20 years later or whatever, that's how you would do it. Like, he did it perfect.
Like a tribute, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to spoil anything for anybody that hasn't seen it.
It's been out for a few years now.
But I feel like, can I say something? If you want to see it and you haven't seen it, just earmuffs.
Just turn
off
for
quick.
A second, yeah.
The ghost of his dad kind of shows up. And it's so, I get goosebumps thinking about it, man. It's so cool, so well done, and so classy.
It was one of the I think it was a, like, real curveball. People didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And I think it became really emotional for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it was a real cool tip of the hat. And tipping our hat to Stan the Man Musial. Not only one of the greatest hitters and greatest baseball players of all time, I think you can make the argument greatest nickname.
Stan the Man? I got a couple of real quick Stan Musial stories. Kurt Flood, who played with him for like a decade with the Cardinals, he asked him once, he's like, Stan, how do you do it? How do you do it? And he's like, well, Kurt, you see a strike, and then you hit the junk out of it. And Kurt was like, I guess it was just that simple for Stan Musial. Yeah, that's what. The other really cool, one of the coolest stats in baseball history. Stan ended with 3,630 hits. He had 1,815 hits at home, 1,815 hits on the road.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
I would love to have been able to ask him why he did it that way. But
yeah, because he's a Stan. No one loved playing baseball more than Stan Musial. You could just see it on his face. Yeah. If you see old films of him, he's smiling the whole time.
He was such a good hitter that if he had told you he did that on purpose, you'd have to believe him. I wanted to have as many hits on the road. I wanted the fans away as much enjoyment at home.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Also, I always thought it was really cool because we obviously didn't get to see him, but we saw him show up with like Ozzie Smith and a lot of Cardinals over the years.
Yeah.
Even Albert Pujols was always really embracing of the younger generation.
Absolutely.
Was always really encouraging and liking where baseball was going. I never heard him talk negative about, like, so many older players can do that. And that was a guy who's maybe one of the oldest we ever saw and still really just loved the game of baseball. And I thought it was him that might have said something like, I can't believe they're still playing. Like, it was really, encouraged by that and enjoyed that part of it. No, one of the greats.
He was one of the greats.
And that nickname, man. That's a good nickname. Take a time out. We'll be back with more show on The Morning Show here at WFHR. We encourage you to treat yourself and head on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. Riding in a lowrider. You don't see a lot of lowriders in this type of weather.
No, you don't. They tend not to work well in snow. Yeah,
they do not go well in this.
No.
That would be a tough one to find out. You drive your lowrider to Wisconsin, and it is not going to go well. Yeah.
That's why they're so popular in Southern California. No snow. That's why, you know.
We got to talk about a story coming up, Seth, here, involving robots and prostates.
I did not expect to be in the same sentence now. Nor did I.
But we'll get into that one. But right now, we got they're similar. Maybe there's a combination. I don't know. But this year's hottest Black Friday buys. Hottest Black Friday price.
Let's get into it.
Just about a week from now, people are going to lose their minds for deals. But wait, no, it's not like that anymore.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not really. No. You go online. They're started already. I mean, every online company is like Black Friday deals right now. Okay.
Why do we even have holidays on certain days anymore? We just celebrate them so much beforehand. We do it with every big holiday. And it's crazy. A month straight, it's like a movie that's really, really hyped up for like 4 months mm-hmm. beforehand. You see the trailer and everything. And then the movie comes out and it's like,
such a disappointment when you get there, right?
It was so built up. And everything.
Yeah.
No holiday gets its due anymore. Thanksgiving needs a new PR person. Like Thanksgiving needs a whole new PR team. Fire right. everybody. Get a whole new team in there and figure it out. Because
they need the mascot, man. They don't have Santa. You know, they don't have the scary things for Halloween. A turkey. No, that's good. We eat the turkey. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to work. We need something different than that.
Yeah, the mascot can't be what you also are devouring. You can't.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't feel like it.
It was weird.
You're not eating trees on Arbor Day. Santa is eating cookies. it doesn't make sense.
President's Day, not eating former presidents. I'm telling you.
Kraft is putting out a limited edition everything bagel version of their classic mac and cheese. And this apparently is something that people wanted, specifically Zillennials.
Zillennials?
Which is a mix of Gen Z and Millennials. Come on.
You're stretching now. You just wanted to invent a word there.
Yeah. This special release is happening on Black Friday, and this is the thing that a lot of people are jacked about, is this mac and cheese thing and stuff. And it's only because it's only online. Okay. Everything bagel mac and cheese will be available at walmart.com for a suggested $1.58. Pre-sales open on Monday, November 25th, but the actual sale doesn't begin until Black Friday. They'll only be available while supplies last, and they're releasing about 14,000 boxes, which says that less than 2% of the number of boxes of the original Kraft mac and cheese that they sell every day.
Jeez. Okay, everything bagel. Now, this is not the first I've seen of this. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I was in the chip aisle, and I was looking at Pringles. They have an everything bagel flavored Pringle now. First of all, I don't know what an everything bagel is.
Oh, yeah.
Off the top of my head. So I'm not sure how, I could try it, I suppose, in taste, but I wouldn't know what to base it on, because I've never had an everything bagel. I guess this is what it tastes like. I don't know.
That's actually pretty funny.
Is this going to be the new, pumpkin spice now? Is it going to be everything bagel flavored everything?
Everything bagel mac and cheese. So
right.
Maybe
that will
be. I don't know.
We're going to see more. I don't know.
I love bagels. I'm a big bagel person. I have no interest in this. This is no interest to me.
Not really.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that are going to like those. And if anything, whenever you sell anything, I almost don't care what it is. Hey, we're only making so many of these. Some people out there are going to be, I got to have that.
The limited edition thing, man. You were so right.
Let's see. All right. I warned you, everybody. I warned you. We try really hard to do shows here that encompass everybody. I was told a long time ago that in order to do Radio 101, mm-hmm. don't try to just talk to one person. Talk to everybody.
Right.
Also, don't try to please everybody, because you'll never be able to do it.
That's impossible.
In fact, try to talk to one person. There's different methods in radio, and there's different ways that different teachers approach it differently. Mm-hmm. But if I could do something a little bit different here, ladies, we want you a part of this conversation, certainly, but I want to speak directly to my fellow men out there.
Oh, okay.
Men over 50. Which would be better, or somehow would it be much worse? According to a new report, your next prostate exam could be done by a robotic finger. Researchers in China have been working on a flexible finger-like probe with sensors on the end. They think it could eventually be used to detect things like enlarged prostates or adnormal lumps.
Okay.
It's called the BSF, or bio-inspired soft finger. But men like BSF better. That just sounds cooler. And that's just my opinion.
That's just your opinion.
It's not just for prostate exams. In recent tests, it was able to find someone's artery on their wrist and measure their pulse.
Ooh, that's cool.
Hopefully it cleaned its finger. No.
Yeah. Did it right.
They think the technology could also be used to find lumps on breast tissue. Mm-hmm. So after that, they're also working with mammograms and
wow.
stuff. So they're finding many, many uses for this.
That's pretty
thing.
Cool.
And I definitely want to hear from everybody on this one.
Yeah.
If you'd be all right with this, do you prefer this, et cetera, et cetera. But, I understand it is not even 9 o'clock in the morning and we are talking about this. And you might, some people might be uncomfortable out there.
Right, right.
And good. Good.
Yeah.
Because this is silly that we get uncomfortable about this.
Yeah.
It's silly that we get bent out of shape about right. this. This is how people survive.
Yeah.
And not only personally, but as losing people to the prostate cancer, mm-hmm. but knowing that just statistically, there are men out there that may die from prostate cancer, and it could have been stopped.
It could have been, yeah. It could detected have been early, right, yeah.
And so I speak to all my fellow men out there, and I think that we need to flip the script on this,
mm-hmm.
where so many guys get bent out of shape about talking about this or acting like it's mm-hmm. something that they're uncomfortable. It might be uncomfortable. That's what brave people do. That's what strong people do. They face uncomfortable stuff.
That's right.
They don't shy away. They don't hide from it.
No.
Yeah, man, this is what being a man is all about. Facing things that you're uncomfortable with. Facing
That's
things
what we keep being told,
of.
Right?
That's what we're told, at least. Yeah. Yes. I'm just speaking, trying to speak right. directly here because yep. I'm so tired of the narrative about this.
Yeah.
This is something we got to get over. And keep in mind, everybody, I am right with you on it.
Yeah.
I am no different. I'm 47 and I still haven't had it done.
Right. I'm not preaching.
I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody
100%,
else.
100%. Well, and we know. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You know, it's awkward. We get that, but it doesn't last forever. And it's so important. It can find something that could, disrupt your life completely, which is better on this. You know, let's weigh it, you know, which is the couple of minutes of being uncomfortable or dying. Okay, well, I guess I know where I'm going to fall on that one.
I would never try to, give a class on what it is to be a man or what it is to be a father. But if there's one thing that I learned from good fathers, one of the number one things that is inherent in us is being a protector. Is being there for our loved ones. Mm-hmm. This is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of yourself.
This is not a you thing necessarily. Yep. This is about everybody around you.
I want you to do it for yourself, but if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your loved ones. Do mm-hmm. it for the people that care about you.
If that's what motivates you, go right ahead.
I am waiting to get this done because I'm still trying to figure out if you're supposed to tip afterwards. I don't know. And then how much do you? I don't know. And I don't want to ask. You know, it's uncomfortable.
Another part of this is that...
With all the tipping going on nowadays, would you be shocked?
You tip your doctors now?
After this gets done, all right, you're good. And then he pulls out a little tablet. You got to figure out, fill out his Venmo and stuff.
This might just not just be for patients. This might be for doctors who don't have to feel so invasive anymore,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Maybe this will be something to help them as well, you know. And if it's to the point where it's sensitive enough, it can detect things that maybe not a human hand could detect. I mean, that's awesome. That's great.
I never buy phones when they first come out.
Right.
Like a lot of people out there, you wait until they work the bugs out and everything. I don't wait on that. I'll let a human do it first. Just wait and let them get the work out. Yeah. I know my luck. I know my luck, Seth. I'm going to wait. But I think it's really cool. And it's encouraging, the technology and everything. But not as encouraging as hopefully all of you laughing along with this conversation and hopefully thinking about, have I been tested? Do I need to be tested? Get out there.
It's coming up.
Do it for your loved ones, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour. Keep in mind, we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friends from the Southwick County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. Always a blast having our Pet of the Week. And a big special shout out to Jammer's Bar and Grill, our sponsor for this week's Pet of the Week.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Appreciate our mm-hmm. friends over there at Jammer's. Seth and I will also get into some entertainment news in the 9 o'clock hour. And a little bit into the 9 o'clock, we'll get into people sharing stories about their weirdest guests. Got that one coming up.
Sounds like fun.
We'll get into that. But let's say, let's go ahead and we're all going to a restaurant together.
Right okay, now. Here
Everybody,
we go.
We're all going. Oh, everybody's going to a restaurant. Someone posted a question about this on social media. At a restaurant, what's something that's an automatic, I'm not eating here, we need to leave, we are out. Waiter, there's a fly in my soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that old
yeah,
one.
That old saw.
So what are some of yours out there, everybody? 715-424-2600. Go ahead and share that with us. Laura was sharing with us, sometimes it can be, you know, a symbol or mm-hmm. something that could, you know, just it may be very divisive.
Yeah, it may make you very uncomfortable kind of thing. So that would make sense, right? Yeah,
you know, whenever we're talking about, political signs or any of these kind of things, it is, whenever I'll speak for myself. When I'm talking about these, I am not talking about politics. I'm talking about business 101. Mm-hmm. And business 101 is you want to have your market, whatever you're selling, whatever your product is, available to as many people as possible to buy it so that you can make more money. This is business 101.
Right.
When you do some of these things, there is naturally going to be a group of people out there that are not going to feel comfortable going to your business.
Right.
That feels like bad business. That feels like really, that feels like taking business advice from somebody that's been bankrupt five times. That doesn't seem like very smart business to me. So that's all I'm talking about here. And I think that there's a lot of that in today's day and age, where you have a lot of people that are, I think they want to do both in some ways, and I don't even blame them for it. I want to be me, and I want to put my feelings and my emotions and my beliefs out there, while at the same time, I want to make money. And I'm sorry, but those two don't go hand in hand.
No.
That's not business. You can try to do that, and there's different organizations and different people that do it in very different ways. I think we work for one of those. Civic Media certainly needs to try to keep the lights on, but Sage has been very honest about wanting to be a station that is about democracy, is not divisive, and that brings people together and supports communities. He's been pretty clear about that.
Very clear about that.
It can be done and everything, but I do think also when you do that, you got to be careful, because you're also, you know what you're doing. It is Ben and Jerry's making ice cream just for people that can eat ice cream. Well, you got people that are lactose intolerant. You got people out there. It's not covering all your bases. What is something that keeps you from going into a restaurant? Let's look at this list, and please feel free to call up with your answers, 424-2600. Seth, if you have anything, please feel free to jump in.
Oh, I will. You know I will. No.
Blaring loud music and strange lighting.
I can totally see that.
I'm not sure I'm going to even walk into a friend's house that has that, let alone a restaurant I've never been into. I think that's a key to this conversation. This is probably your first time going to this restaurant.
It's not familiar. And totally, I mean, especially if you are a person that, you know, has like someone with ADHD who has trouble with lots of sound and light and that sort of thing, you're not going to go in there because it's going to totally overwhelm you.
I do like the idea of a restaurant having some kind of music going. So you're not just sitting there listening to people chew and the clanking of silverware and all that. But it's tough to what music you play. That's tough.
It's got to be in the background. It cannot be in the foreground. It's got to be in the background.
No soap in the bathroom.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, that's a tough one because you've already probably eaten or you're probably getting ready to eat
Right.
So you're already kind of stuck. They got you.
You don't want to. I mean, do you leave then? I mean, that's an interesting question. Do you literally get up and go? I mean, I don't know. I'd feel kind of hard to do that, too.
Any bad smells?
Yeah,
but that's tough.
Kitchens are known for certain things.
Some foods just smell funky, too.
That's true. When you go into the Lutefisk restaurant, it smells funky. That's because it's supposed to be that way.
Liver and onions in us is a little bit more. Why didn't this business model work? The cook walks out of the bathroom with an apron on. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
I would rather them wear an apron than not.
I think you're supposed to take your apron off before when you
walk out in the front of the house. I see what you mean.
A massive menu that's all over the place, even the Cheesecake Factory.
That was a very specific answer by someone, but
I've only eaten at a Cheese Factory once.
Never been there.
It was okay. It wasn't anything to write home about, but I realized as soon as I opened up that menu, they don't necessarily specialize in anything. They just offer a whole bunch of everything, and it's all kind of average. And I don't even know. I mean, like I said, I've eaten there once. If you like Cheesecake Factory, if you work for Cheesecake Factory, please feel free to call up and correct me. I have no problem with that. I being honest about it, there's plenty of places like that. A lot of buffet places are like that.
Right.
There's very few Chinese buffets that I've been to where, you got to have this. They got a wide variety of all of this.
Right. And so, I mean, I don't think it's a deal breaker for me personally. It's just that you know that they're going to make some things better than others when you have such a huge menu, right? So you want to stick. I mean, you go to a family restaurant and they offer, tacos or something. It's like, well, no, if I wanted tacos, I'd go to the Mexican place, right?
Right.
So I would stick with stuff that you probably they would do better than others.
Yeah. That's a good
Not a deal a breaker,
one.
Though.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No prices on the menu or no menus at all, just a QR code.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I find that very annoying.
A lot of places that do this are again, everything I was talking about before about clientele. There's a lot of people out there that don't know how to use these, don't want to use these.
Nope.
And you're knocking out half of your audience.
Why would you do that?
You know, it doesn't make sense.
It's so easy to put like a simple menu together. Yeah.
On the other side of this, I've been to the restaurants that don't have a price on their menu because of how expensive those things are. Like, that's a no for me just because I don't need to do any dishes. I don't need that.
Just in
case. I don't need
it's
to.
It's because you should know that you can afford anything in there if you're not the right clientele, James.
I don't need to embarrass myself in front of strangers. I do that for a living. Don't really need to do that.
Yeah, he doesn't do it for free. Yeah, people. Yeah, you got to pay him to do it.
Lots of flies buzzing around the tables or kitchen of the buffet. Anytime you see an insect, let's be honest, any insect. I don't care if it's a daddy long legs. Like, you see, like, any insect you see, you're going to be
for me, that would be a little rough. Yeah.
Yeah. Dirty floors, filthy bathrooms, sticky tables.
Cleanliness is so important with restaurants, people. That's the big thing.
Poor hygiene from the workers, including visibly being sick or just, you know, running any of these things. Not being, you know, it's an appearance thing.
Yep.
When the workers see you come in, they look annoyed. Yeah, body language is big. Body language is big.
And, man, I mean, I think we both, James, we both know how hard it is to work in this industry.
Yes.
And we understand you're going to have bad days, but it's such a, man, you can really hurt your business's reputation if you have one bad experience with a worker, like a server or something like that. So, yeah, that's rough.
I'm not even saying that I don't empathize with it.
Yeah, me too.
It's an industry, I've said this many times, I wouldn't survive 5 seconds in.
You didn't survive.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. I worked at KFC for like 3 months, 6 months, and I was knocked out.
Yeah.
And they literally asked me never to work in fast food again.
He has held to, by the way, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. You know, he's kept that promise.
All the respect in the world, people that can do that work. And any restaurant that posts semi-permanent excuses on the front door, like we're understaffed, or no one wants to work anymore, or things like that.
No one wants to work anymore. Why?
I've seen some stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen some signs like
screed
that.
On them when you walk in the door.
If you have something negative or aggressive or angry before people even walk through your door, I've said this before, you walk around all day with your fists clenched, you're going to get in a fight. Like, the attitude you put out there, it really does matter. This isn't a bunch of kumbaya stuff, man. This is just life. This is how life works.
Think about it. If you walk into a place with that, on the door, what are your impressions, if you've never been there before? What are your impressions going to be? Probably not great.
Here's a big one and an interesting one that came from all sides of the aisle. There are TVs playing the news, especially anything political.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter where people fall on along the aisle or anything, or where their political beliefs are. They're tired of it.
Yeah.
they're done.
Seriously.
They're done. Yeah.
I agree, because especially when we have something called the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
Which is the most vanilla thing you can. Why not just put the Weather Channel up, man?
Oh, thank you, Weather Channel. We love you.
We do.
Love the Weather Channel. And finally, Gordon Ramsay is filming inside. Well, is he cooking? I would put up a Gordon Ramsay at his worst if I get to try his food, because I want to hear all the rave. Because this guy, if he can act like that, he's got to be a good cook.
Yeah.
Like, you know he's got to be good.
So
you can't get away with acting
like that. That's right. You're going to be good.
You're average. Yeah. Your food's like, no, he must be one of the best cooks of
or,
all time.
Or you're a masochist. Yeah. You just like being yelled at or something. I don't know.
I've asked people this to go to the famous Wiener Circle in Chicago. And everything, like, is it the dogs or is it, because I've been there before and I like the Vienna hot dogs,
right?
It's also one of the funniest experiences you'll ever have in your life.
All right, I got one quick one to throw on top of this one. If you have a light up neon sign and some of the lights are out, which isn't fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that it takes a while to
That's
get those fixed and replaced, but it's still going to make me think, I don't know if I want to go there.
I'm trying to think, because I'm as picky of an eater as I can be. I don't know if I really have anything that a restaurant is doing. I will say the sign thing can be a bit of it, can be a little bit of one. Like, I don't want to, and I really like to support local places.
100%, yeah.
So I will say that maybe that can sometimes be a deterrent for me. a chain. I tend, but even at the same time, all those chains are owned by local people,
which is true. You got to keep that in mind as well, right?
Yeah. We'll hear yours throughout the show. Here, go ahead and let us know, everybody. Yeah. What are some of your? I ain't doing that. No, we're eating somewhere else. But you're hungry. Hangry.
Usually, it's when people come in and see me eating there. They're like, oh, we're not eating here. No.
If I see that, then I'm sitting down next to you.
So. Yeah.
We'll have Tim sitting down next to us when we come back with our pet of the week from the Southwick County Humane Society. It's coming up right here on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.